Welcome to our teaching for today. Please be patient with our audio. The Torah portion for today is Zav and means command. This portion begins by God giving commands about the burnt offerings, meal offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings, a priest's offering, and well-being offerings. This year, Resurrection Weekend comes on a different week than Passover because Christianity follows a non-biblical calendar. The decision to use a non-biblical calendar by the Roman Empire. The non-biblical calendar that we observe has pagan roots and was established by the Roman Empire in antiquity as their calendar. They refused to acknowledge a biblical calendar or the biblical feasts of the Bible. The lack of any acknowledgement of God's timing stems from ongoing anti-Jewish sentiment. We know there was a lot of anti-Jewish sentiment even in Yeshua's time. Gentiles considered Jews as unbelievers in the pagan gods. They did not like the Jews, and the Roman-appointed King Herod and Roman-appointed high priest and their leadership put Yeshua to death. The Romans turned this around and blamed the Jews. Even the Roman historian Tacitus reported that the Romans put Yeshua to death. When they took over the Christian faith, they persecuted and murdered early Christians who accepted God's truths and the Bible and burned the Hebrew scriptures. Some say that the empire killed some 1 million true believers in Yeshua to establish their own pagan-infused Christian doctrine. After Yeshua was put to death and rose from the dead, the Gentiles were offered the truths of the Bible and the Messiah Yeshua. The Gentiles then turned against the Jews and the faith that was delivered to the Gentiles by the Jews. This following is from Letter of the Emperor to all those not present at the council. This council being referred to as the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Also, the Roman Empire observed Easter, the pagan goddess of fertility at the time of the spring equinox. That is what is being referred to in the following and not the resurrection of Yeshua. It was declared to be particularly unworthy for this, the holiest of all festivals, to follow the custom, the calculation, of the Jews, who had soiled their hands with the most fearful of crimes, and whose minds were blinded. In rejecting their custom, we may transmit to our descendants the legitimate mode of celebrating Easter. We ought not, therefore, to have anything in common with the Jews, for the Savior has shown us another way. We desire, dearest brethren, to separate ourselves from the detestable company of the Jews. Did God really change his mind about his word? Over and over the Old Testament portion says that God is a good God and he wants us to keep his good commandments. Psalms 119:105 NKJV says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Christians use this scripture to mean that God's word is important and useful, but it was written in Old Testament times and is about God's Old Testament commandments. It seems many Christians believe what they want to believe and continue to deny the goodness of God that the Jews accepted. The Jews were not perfect, but they managed to change the world through God's word, the Bible. Let's talk a little about the benefits the Jews brought to the world. Judaism brought a God-centered life. People in ancient times often believed in the cycle of life. There was no special purpose or plan for life. Reference: The Gifts of the Jews by Kahel. People in ancient times did what they thought was right in their own eyes. It does not mean they did what was right. Doing what you think is right is not always right. We are not God. God knows what is right because he is an all-knowing and good God. Idol worship had become prevalent after the flood instead of worship of the one true God. Judaism brought different standards to live by and dignity and worth. Jews ascribed to higher values than that of other ancient cultures. The Jews recognized the need for self-correction, repentance, justice and mercy. The Jews gave us God's commandments which give us understanding and wisdom and are right and good, see Deuteronomy 4:7-8, and Deuteronomy 6:17-18. All the writers of the Holy Scriptures were Jewish. Recent scholarship has determined that a number of the books of the New Testament were originally written in Hebrew, including all four Gospels. We now have many copies of the Hebrew scriptures of the New Testament. The Jews gave us a history of God's love for man, the law, songs, prophecy, instruction and wisdom, future expectation, and the promises of God. The Jews gave us the Messiah Yeshua, See John 5:25-27, 8:51, 8:58, 17-5, Isaiah 26:19, and Daniel 7:13-14. Without the Jews we would have no Messiah. They gave us the right and good ways to live, see Deuteronomy 6:17-18, the concept of assembly, and God's blessings. Yeshua, Jesus, had to be a Jew, he had to be the Jewish kinsman redeemer, see Hebrews 2:14-17. Dr. Fruchtenbaum writes about this. The promise of the Holy Spirit was given to the Jews and the early believers were Jewish, see Acts 11:18, 18:14-16, 21:20. The early believers celebrated Shabbat, the real day of rest, the Jewish feasts, and formed local messianic synagogues. They were considered a sect of Judaism called Nazarene Jews. We are in debt to the Jews for our blessings, see Genesis 1:1, Romans 15:27, and Ephesians 2:11-16. Those who loved the Jews were given special blessings from God both in the Old Testament portion and New Testament portion. Yeshua, Jesus, also gave preference to those who were good to the Jews. See Genesis 12:3, Luke 7:4-6, and Acts 10:1-2. God blessed the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that blessing is still in effect today, see Genesis 12:3. Originally, the believers in the Messiah Yeshua were Messianic Jews. In time, Gentiles were allowed to be part of the believing community. Messianic Gentiles were to be fellow heirs with the Messianic Jews who believed in Yeshua, see Ephesians 3:5-6. We are warned to be good to the Jews in the Bible, see Romans 11:13-29. In the 3rd century, the Roman Empire made it illegal to observe God's feasts. They are God's feasts and not just Jewish feasts, see Leviticus 23:2. The roots of our faith that came from God, came through the Jews, and we would have no faith to believe in if not for the Jews. I am not suggesting we change our calendars, but we need to start following all the truths that the Bible teaches us. The Old Testament scriptures are right and good, see Deuteronomy 6:17-18. Since Passover and Resurrection weekend is coming up, we should talk more about the pagan elements that have been passed down into Christianity concerning the resurrection. The Bible says that we are not to copy pagan practice. God calls it disgusting, an abomination. It is a disgrace to Christianity that some do not celebrate God's feasts. The feasts in the Bible are God's feasts, the Bible says. Leviticus 23:2 NKJV says, "The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." Also, call Easter, Resurrection Weekend for goodness sake. It is not the feast of Easter, which is the bare-breasted goddess of fertility. I get tired of people saying, "Happy bare-breasted of goddess of fertility." Some say it doesn't matter. Tell that to God when you stand before Him in judgment. Deuteronomy 12:30-31 NKJV says, "How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which He hates they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods." We are not to do anything connected to pagan ritual, including coloring eggs and associating bunnies with the resurrection of Yeshua. Eggs were colored with blood by the pagans, and rabbits are a pagan symbol of fertility. Do not call Yeshua's resurrection the bare-breasted goddess of fertility. Also, believers are commanded to do a ritual service called a Seder for Passover. Seder is the word used for the ritual meal for Passover. Seder means order, and in this case refers to the order of the ritual for Passover. Numbers 9:3 NKJV says, "On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies you shall keep it." This should include Yeshua's death and resurrection. He died for our sins as our Passover lamb when the Passover lambs were being slain. Shaul said we are to keep God's feasts. When Shaul talks about Passover, he talks as though everyone knew about keeping Passover and would be keeping Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7-8 NKJV says, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened." For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Shaul tells us to keep the Passover. We should be keeping God's feasts. Some say that Shaul did not keep the feasts. Then why did he say what he said? Jews who lived too far away to come to Jerusalem kept God's feasts based on the scriptural allowance to do so. Gentiles just do not understand the scriptures. Do not be trapped by feel-good religion. Any number of the following things can be at work in churches today. Much of Christianity today tries to appeal to people by avoiding difficult issues, making its belief system simplistic, appealing to positive beliefs and ignoring biblical truth, through outright manipulation of the scriptures through false theology and teaching, through an entertainment culture, by appealing to a good works culture, by establishing ritual as practice instead of doing what the Bible says to do, by claiming to have spiritual truth but teaching false doctrine, and there are probably more deviant practices in Christianity. Some churches act as a business instead of a place where people can get to know the truths of the Bible. Any number of these can produce a false biblical system. I am all for being generous and good to others, but that is only a couple of the commandments of God. Churches will sometimes focus on one thing at the expense of the whole picture. Some believe that all we need is positive thinking and a positive focus. The Bible says that this is a good way to think, see Philippians 4:8. But instead of teaching what is right and wrong, they avoid the issue or they make the positive teachings of the Bible their main focus. For example, murder is wrong and takes the life of a person. Each person is valuable and special. Being a drunkard is wrong and is a waste of a life. They do not want to talk about any of the negative aspects of sin so that they do not offend anyone. They may have a simplistic doctrine that avoids any commandments or issues. The Bible is easy to understand without 1,700-page books. Do not make anything that you kneel down to, do not murder, do not steal, etc. God's word is straightforward enough to understand. Some think that their man-made ritual authenticates them. They do not care about the things of God as much as their church building and made-up doctrine. They follow people and not God. Isaiah 29:13 NKJV says, "These people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men." Yeshua said their man-made doctrine is worthless. Matthew 15:9 NKJV says, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Also, take for instance the entertainment-type church. It draws people to its meetings through lively or talented singers and musicians. I went to a large church once that put on a concert with talented singers and musicians, and when it came time to teach the people, the pastor said that we could now all go home now. Somehow, the music took the place of any true biblical teaching. I watched another church on TV once that put on an amazing musical performance followed by a teaching that gave people good advice instead of teaching people what the Bible said. I appreciate great music and singing, and we all need good advice. These churches seem to authenticate their existence by attendance and the fact they have a building and an organization. Singing is not all there is to a spiritual life, and a building is just a place and does not authenticate their teaching. It is nice to have a place to go to, but the building is just a tool and just made of wood or stone. The Bible has the truths we need for right living. Deuteronomy 6:17-18 NKJV says, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, his testimonies, and his statutes which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you." God's commandments are right, and they are good. God gave them to us to help us with life. He is God and knows what is best for us. Do not go to a church that does not teach you to keep God's commandments. Some believe that any form of commandment is wrong. Some believe that God will not judge us or that all we have to do is have faith and nothing else. Faith is good, but we also need to keep God's commandments. James 2:17 NKJV says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." It is talking about keeping God's commandments. The works of the flesh refers to not keeping God's commandments. Galatians 5:19-21 NKJV says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." This is a partial list of some of the more grievous sins. So, those who are doing things their own way instead of God's way will not inherit the kingdom of God. Some believe in a prosperity message or that we will never face trouble. If you have troubles of any kind, then somehow the person who is having the trouble is at fault. People can sometimes become a bunch of smiling liars. John 16:33 NKJV says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." The Messiah said that in this era we will have trouble at times. That will only change in the new heaven and earth where the people who follow God through His commandments will be allowed in. In this messianic era, we are also to receive the Holy Spirit to help us in life. The Holy Spirit will not tell us to disobey God's commandments. Revelation 21:4 NKJV says, "God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Those who live in sin will not be allowed into the future kingdom of God. Revelation 21:8 NKJV says, "The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." This is a different partial list of some of the sins that will keep you out of the future good kingdom of God. Also see 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Notice that hell is a real place. Those that say there is no hell will probably be going there unless they repent. Let's look at a section of scripture from the book of Matthew. Yeshua says in Matthew 7:13-23 NKJV, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" What does the Bible say? Do not think that your wide gate approach to God is going to merit you a place in God's future kingdom. These people who teach this are false teachers who teach hurtful lies. Not everyone will enter God's future kingdom but those who keep God's law, His commandments and laws. The Messiah Yeshua said that He will reject those who do not keep the law. These false churches are lying to you. Be satisfied with being connected to God and being at peace with God. Why not be satisfied with being connected to God the way the Bible says and not to just an organization, building, or some false teacher? It is a lot more important to be at peace with God instead of having to face judgment for the evil you have brought into the world. That's right. Since the Creator God knows what is best and has our best interests at heart, not following His ways brings sin and evil into the world. Keeping God's commandments brings peace to our life. Peace and satisfaction are two of the greatest achievements in life. Isaiah 48:18 NKJV says, "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments! Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Righteousness means to do what is right and keep God's commandments, see Deuteronomy 6:17-18. Psalms 119:165 NKJV says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." We can have great peace through God's commandments. God blesses his people with peace, those who keep his commandments. Psalms 29:11 NKJV says, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." God wants peace for his people, so do not turn away from his commandments. Psalms 85:8 says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly." Saints are not dead people. The saints are those who keep God's commandments. What God gives us through his commandments is wonderful, so much so that doing what is right and peace have kissed. Psalms 85:10 NKJV says, "Mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed." Trust in God and go to God in times of trouble. Psalms 73:28 NKJV says, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." Sometimes we are in impossible situations, but God comes through for us. I remember hearing a story about someone who said that God picked up their car and delivered them from a serious auto accident. I know it was true because I have also seen God at work in my life. Some of my friends who lived in the Amazon jungle had their boat sink during the rainy season. The river they were on can swell to 40 miles wide in some places. They had no way of making it to land, and a boat just happened to pass by. I have been on that river, and you can go for days and not see another boat. Praise God for helping them. God's commandments and the Holy Spirit can help us, and God will supernaturally intervene at times. Psalms 115:9 NKJV says, "O Israel, trust in the Lord, he is their help and their shield." We have peace with God and peace in our life through God's commandments and the messianic gift of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 4:16 NKJV says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So, talk to God and ask him for help in all you do and when you face troubles. Philippians 4:6-7 NKJV says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Seek truth and follow truth. We need to follow God's truths in his commandments and to tell others about the truths God has given to us. Do not teach others evil, it is a disgusting way of life. Proverbs 8:7 NKJV says, "For my mouth will speak truth, wickedness is an abomination to my lips." Speak the truth and declare God's right and good commandments. Do not be deceitful and lead others the wrong way. Proverbs 12:17 NKJV says, "He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness, deceit." God's commandments have been good for thousands of years, they are still good, and they will always be good. Isaiah 25:1 NKJV says, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you, I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." God's word gives us truths for life. Why seek anything else when we already have something that is so wonderful? Do not be trapped by feel-good, watered-down, man-made religion. Today, there are many who do not realize that they believe in a building or a mission statement instead of the Bible. Yeshua did not say that the path to God's future kingdom was wide and easy. Through God we can have peace in life. Be connected to God and his good ways. Doing what is right and peace are connected. God's commandments are a better way of life, and God will also act on our behalf, so trust in God. Seek the truths of the Bible. God's ways are wonderful because they come from an all-knowing and good God. We will now begin our Torah study. The Torah portion for today is Zav and means command. This portion begins by God giving commands about the burnt offerings, meal offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings, a priest's offering, and well-being offerings. Burnt offerings were to be entirely burned up, and the fire on the altar was to never go out. The priests were to eat some of the other offerings at the tent of meeting. The meal offering at the anointing of the priest was to be burnt up completely. There was to be no leaven in the offerings, and no blood or fat was to be eaten. Moshe then does a consecration ritual for the priests. He dresses them, anoints them with oil, does a bull offering and two ram offerings, a blood ritual, and an elevation offering. Moshe then anoints them with blood and oil, and they were to remain at the tent of meeting, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, for 7 days until their consecration and atonement was over. Again, in this portion, God is very specific about how the animal sacrifices and other offerings were to be done. It should remind us that we are to do things God's way and not our own way. He is God and we are not. Particularly in this portion, it was a special moment in the lives of Aaron and his sons as they were anointed priests and consecrated to the Lord. We should also conclude that being a priest for the true God, or for that matter, any leadership position for God, is to be taken very seriously. The Haftorah for Zav is Jeremiah 7:21-8-3, and 9:22-23. Just before our Haftorah portion, it says that God's anger and fury will be poured out on those who worship the Queen of Heaven and other pagan gods. The Queen of Heaven is Easter, also known as the multi-breasted pagan goddess of fertility. It is also used for other woman pagan deities and even for Mary, the mother of Yeshua, by some. Let's consider the kingdom of God being a very high-class place. After all, God is all-powerful. So, the future kingdom of God is going to be very amazing. So, let's imagine a very high-class restaurant being there for everyone, and say a guy walks in without a shirt on. It would be a disgrace to show up without a shirt on at a high-class restaurant. So, it is inappropriate and a disgrace to refer to the resurrection of Yeshua, Jesus, as the bare-breasted God Easter. After all, He gave us minds to use to give Him the glory He deserves. Use them. Praying to Mary is a form of pagan worship, since we are to pray to God only. The Bible is noticeably clear about this. Exodus 24:6 says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Shaul, Paul, said that no one engaged in pagan worship will be allowed in the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10 NKJV, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." The unrighteous would not be in God's future kingdom. We are nearing Passover. Passover was when Israel was set free from the Egyptians and given God's commandments so they could serve God. Yeshua died and rose from the dead at the time of Passover so we could be given the Holy Spirit to help us be set free from sin and serve God. Passover is relevant for believers in the Messiah Yeshua and should be celebrated. I've heard people say we don't have to observe God's feasts. What's the matter with God's feasts? They aren't just Jewish feasts but are biblical feasts. In fact, God says they are His feasts, see Leviticus 23:2. Shaul says to observe the Passover in 1 Corinthians 5:7-8. Here is some information on a Hebraic understanding of Passover from the Complete Jewish Bible. Pesach is the Hebrew word for Passover, and the word Seder is the order of the ceremony for Passover. Hametz is bread with leaven, and leaven when observing Passover refers to sin. So, by removing Hametz, it means we are to remove sin from our lives. Matzah is bread without leaven. So, the Complete Jewish Bible translates 1 Corinthians 5:7-8 CJB as, "For our Pesach lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed. So let us celebrate the Seder not with leftover Hametz, the Hametz of wickedness and evil, but with the matzah of purity and truth." Celebrate the Seder, celebrate Passover. Shaul, Paul, commands us to observe Passover, and that applies no matter where we live. Yeshua said that there will come a time when we will worship God wherever we live, see John 4:21. It is no longer true that we have to go to Jerusalem because the Messiah has changed that. Some Gentiles say we can't do it unless we are in Jerusalem. They are just anti-Jewish replacement theology critics. Messianic believers over history have observed Passover wherever they lived. The Torah makes allowances for people who are too far away to make it to Jerusalem. Messianic believers who kept God's commandments and God's feasts were the true believers in Shaul's, Paul's, time. Numbers 9:3 NKJV says, "On the 14th day of this month, at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies you shall keep it." We are to be prepared to observe Passover. True believers also didn't keep misapplied man-made laws. We should understand that some pertinent ritual is okay. Ritual is part of life, but ritual is not necessarily a commandment from God unless God says to perform it. Notice I said misapplied man-made laws. Some say you have to wear a hat after you get up in the morning. What does wearing your hat after you get up have to do with God? It's a man-made law. Man-made laws become man-made idols. Our Haftorah portion begins by saying that they should have obeyed God's commandments, but they did things their own way and were stubborn and had evil hearts. People just want to do things their own way. They celebrate our national holidays instead of God's holidays, feasts. There is nothing wrong with our national feasts, but it is wrong for Christianity not to celebrate God's feasts. Call Easter Resurrection Weekend for goodness's sake. It is not the feast of Easter, the bare-breasted goddess of fertility. Some say it doesn't matter. Tell that to God when you stand before Him in judgment. God tells Jeremiah to call to the people, but they won't listen or answer. Israel is doing detestable things, and they even offer their sons for human sacrifice. God warns them that their land will be turned to ruin for their sins. Those who were sinning were being stubborn and doing things their own way. They should have known and understood that they were to do things God's way. He is a God of grace, favor, justice. He does what is just, and righteousness. He does what is right. Why not do things God's way? Let's read Jeremiah 7:23-24 and 9:23 from the Haftorah for Zav. Jeremiah 7:23-24 CJV says, "Rather, what I did order them was this: pay attention to what I say. Then I will be your God, and you will be my people. In everything, live according to the way that I order you, so that things will go well for you." But they neither listened nor paid attention, but lived according to their own plans, in the stubbornness of their evil hearts, thus going backward and not forward. Jeremiah 9:23 CJV says, "Instead, let the boaster boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Adonai, practicing grace, justice and righteousness in the land, for in these things I take pleasure, says Adonai." When I look at some forms of Christianity, I am very saddened because of their lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6 NKJV says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Pastors who are rejecting God's law will be rejected by God. Do you want God to forget your children? Get with it. Understand and keep God's law. Three laws in this portion should be applied in our era. Leviticus 7:19 says that any offering that touched anything unclean was to be burnt up and was not to be eaten by those who were clean. The clean could eat the offerings. Not eating things that touched anything unclean should also be applied to what everyone eats on a daily basis. We could also say that spoiled or contaminated food should not be eaten. Anything not acceptable to eat should be disposed of and not eaten. Also, Leviticus 7:23 says that no one was to eat any kind of animal fat. We should understand that it is a representative list here. Other places give a single species. Leviticus 7:26-27 says that no one was to eat or drink the blood of an animal or bird. People in our era have lots of knowledge about everything except for God. 3,000 believed in the Messiah Yeshua on Shavuot, Pentecost, it says in Acts 2. God gave the Holy Spirit on a Jewish feast day, that's why all those Jewish people were at the temple in Jerusalem. The 3,000 who believed knew their Bible and they were instantly capable home group leaders who had learned the Bible as they grew up. They fellowshipped from house to house and ate together, Acts 2:46. Eating together is something Jews do on Shabbat. Believers observe Shabbat. Early believers in Yeshua observed Shabbat because it is one of God's feasts, and they kept God's good commandments. We want what is good, God wants what is good. We will now begin our section on commandments, implied commandments, permissions, and other concepts. We can also understand commandments are being implied from other scriptures in the Bible. There are other possible concepts than what is shared here. They were to put on their linen garment and put the ashes next to the altar. Then change and take the ashes outside their camp to a clean place. Leviticus 6:10-11. The fire on the altar is to be kept burning and not go out. Leviticus 6:13. The high priest and his descendants are to eat the remains of the poor people's offerings in the area of the tent of meeting. Leviticus 6:14-16. The flour offering is not to be eaten with leaven. It is holy. Leviticus 6:16-17. The priests were to make their own flour offering in the morning and evening and it was to be burnt up on the altar completely. Leviticus 6:20-23. The priests were to offer up the sin offering and eat it in the area of the tent of meeting. The offering sprinkled on the inner altar was to be burned up completely. Leviticus 6:25-26, 30. The trespass offering is given. Leviticus 7:1-6. The thanksgiving offering is to be eaten and the remnants are not to be left until morning. Leviticus 7:15. They were to burn the remnants of the offerings left over on the third day. If eaten after the third day, the sacrifice is annulled. Leviticus 7:17-18. Any offering that touched anything unclean was to be burnt up and was not to be eaten by those who were clean. The clean could eat the offerings. Not eating things that touched anything unclean should also be applied to what everyone eats on a daily basis. We could also say that spoiled or contaminated food should not be eaten. Anything not acceptable to eat should be disposed of and not eaten. Leviticus 7:19. Leviticus 7:23 says that no one was to eat any kind of animal fat. We should understand that it is a representative list here. Other places give a single species. Leviticus 7:26-27 says that no one was to eat or drink the blood of an animal or bird. Let's say the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:24-26. Yehovah bless you and keep you. Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yehovah lift up his face upon you and give to you peace. Amen. Thank you for being with us today.